And welcome to the Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the staff of Dermatology Times, aiming to provide you with the latest updates in dermatology, to exclusive interviews with leading industry experts, and a glimpse of what goes on behind the scenes. I'm your host, Morgan Petronelli. Today we're discussing the COVID-19 cosmetic surgery boom, including what caused this increase in aesthetic procedures, the implementation of telemedicine into cosmetic surgery practice, and what procedures are on the rise. Let's dive right in. Today I have joining me Dr. Amir Karam, double board certified facial plastic surgeon of Carmel Valley Facial Plastic Surgery and Aesthetic Center, located in San Diego, California. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. So we're going to start off with the COVID-19 cosmetic surgery boom. Can you describe the state of the industry prior to the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yeah, well, thank you very much for having me. The state of the cosmetic industry, I think, was in a really good place before COVID happened and the coronavirus hit the scene. Things were gradually growing in probably every sector of cosmetic surgery, from non-surgical to surgical. And that's been kind of the trend over the last, I would say, decade, really, kind of a steady growth in those areas. But surprisingly, you know, once the coronavirus did happen back in really came to our awareness in March and the shutdowns and everything else, you really didn't know what direction things were going to go in. I mean, I know from my point of view, having a practice that's focused on facial rejuvenation and facial plastic surgery, I didn't really know or expect what direction things were going to go in, because, you know, people's moods are affected. You know, they're worrying about, the potential inevitability of a virus and an illness and loved ones, et cetera. So we were sort of, during that period of time, sort of on a watch and wait and watch and see kind of a basis. And to our surprise, when things went into this kind of shutdown mode and people started getting back, working from home and being at home, we saw a massive increase in the demand for our services. And I think that was honestly kind of surprising, but also at the same time, something that we were sort of prepared for, in the sense that, you know, we put our coordinators, working virtually. We had set up a lot of opportunities for virtual consultations, which patients really took advantage of during that period of time.
You know, and since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, the aesthetics industry has seen an increase in aesthetic procedures. Do you mind explaining this boom? What kind of procedures have you seen an increase in? What have you seen a decrease in as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I mean, my practice really is pretty narrow in terms of its focus, and I don't know, as an entire industry and all the different subspecialties, you know, from breast augmentation to liposuction and all those, you know, sort of body contouring type things, what the effect is. I'll tell you from the perspective of our practice being more or less just on the face, really, you know, surgical and non-surgical, but specifically surgical, has really, really the demand for it. And I think, in our case, I would attribute it partially not just to, and I have a few theories on why it's increased, but one of the things for us that's really helped a lot is the fact that, you know, we had a pretty vibrant Instagram account that I have that, does a lot in terms of displaying the before and afters and explaining the procedures and things like that. And I think once people were at home, they suddenly had a lot more time for social media and a lot more time for evaluating and looking and this and that. And I think what I saw concurrently happen was that there was a pretty significant boost in social media activity on our account. We really saw, a growth in the account, but also a lot more interaction. And a lot of patients that did come to us during this period of time came through Instagram. And I think that was a pretty important, you know, sort of catalyst in terms of the growth. The other aspect of it is, But I think from what I hear from patients is, you know, they spend more time looking at themselves because of these formats like Zoom and FaceTime, and they're having these virtual meetings. And, you know, the sort of psychological background to aging, for example, is that, you know, for many of us who are aging, we feel like the same person as we did when we're in our 20s and 30s. And yet our faces, once we get into our, say, you know, mid 40s and beyond, really start taking a major change in the way we look. You know, our jawline starts to sag, our face starts to deflate, things start to really change on us, neck starts to get loose. But yet in our minds, we still see ourselves as that young person because we feel that way. And then when we see a photo or a video of ourselves on Zoom or these type of things, we're like, oh, that's not me anymore. You know, and aging is really happening. And I think that also was a major catalyst in terms of the self-realization of the aging process. And I think that combination with the extra time on social media. And then the final piece, I think, really came down to the fact that people are working from home and have an opportunity to take downtime. So when it comes to surgical, downtime has always been a big obstacle for many people in terms of trying to figure out how they can take a week or two off of work. And so nowadays, it's pretty simple. You take time off, you can still work from home to recover. And even if you do go out socially, you have a mask on, which covers a lot of the surgical work. So I think the combination of those three things was sort of the perfect storm in terms of bringing patients to a higher level. And now that once we opened up back in June, there's, I would say, probably an equal demand in our non-surgical practice. But I would say our surgical practice has really shown a significant uptick compared to pre-COVID times.
And what kind of surgical procedures are you seeing an increase in? Is it any particular area or anything?
Yeah, for us, it's really, you know, again, the focus of my practice is a technique that I do called the vertical restore, which is basically a very advanced and very modern, spin-off of a facelift that was traditionally led people looking very unnatural and windswept and pulled, and there was a lot of natural objection to that type of an outcome. With a vertical restore, people look very natural. They don't look like they've had any surgery yet. You know, their jawlines and their neck and their midface, everything looks completely corrected and youthful. So as a result of that, that type of surgery has really gone through the roof in terms of demand for it. And so that's, for my practice, the vertical restore, the fat transfers that we do for volume augmentation, eyelid surgery, those things have really, really gotten very busy as a result of this sort of increased awareness and increased time and demand.
Now, are you seeing patients going for a more natural look or more exaggerated?
No, and I don't know if this is... this is probably something to do with the reputation of our practice, because we do get patients who fly in from all over the country, even outside of the US for surgeries here, but they really do that only because they know that they're gonna get a natural looking result. So I think we have kind of a self-selected group of patients who are looking for natural outcomes. And so all of our patients really don't even bother asking about sort of these trendy plastic surgery type things like cat eye surgery and, you know, different type of things that create an exaggerated or unnatural sort of an outcome. They're really looking for just looking like themselves minus the aging changes. So that's refreshing for me, because I'm not a fan of that type of exaggerated plastic surgery. And I fortunately don't have to, tell patients too often that that's not the right thing to do.
And, how has consultations changed for your practice since the rise in virtual consultations, telemedicine? Has it made gauging patients' needs more easy or more difficult?
That's a great question. We switched into this this virtual mode right when the shutdowns occurred back in March. And before that, what we would do is only do this type of Zoom or FaceTime, virtual consultations with our out of town and out of country patients. But what happened was, what we're forced to do it with every patient. And quite honestly, I don't even know if we were really doing it to the full extent. Many patients would just send in photos and we get on the phone and talk with them, and we weren't really utilizing any of this type of thing, because I didn't even know if I heard of Zoom until after mid-March. So since then, we've switched all of our consultations to this format, and we continue to do that. And it's been really a very positive thing, because when it comes to the face especially, it's very easy to examine, if you will, visually examine what the patient's needs are, what their aging changes are, what things look like. So as a result, we haven't missed a beat in terms of being able to properly diagnose and properly assess a patient, and then give them a very good treatment plan that once we see them is basically spot on. I mean, I can't remember the last time we're at this for 6-7 months now. I can't remember the last time we had a patient that we looked at and we're like, oh, this doesn't look like we were off on our assessment. But other side of it, the other bonus of it, is for a patient, normally they would end up having to take, half a day out of their work to, to come down, do a, consultation with us. I mean, basically it was a full half day interruption of their schedule. Now many patients, they're literally at work. They go slip into a quiet place, or if they're at their home, they're just taking half an hour or whatever it is out of their day to do this from the convenience of either their home or their work. And sometimes patients are literally, I've had patients, in their car and shopping or wherever their situation is, and they've managed to do this in a very convenient way, which I think has been nice for the patients as well. So there's been some aspects of it that will probably persist just in the future regardless, but we always offer the opportunity for the patient who does finally schedule for the procedure to, if they'd like to come in and have a face-to-face, we'll always make that accommodation for them. But for consultations, the virtual realm has been really, really good.
That's great to hear. And on that, with this boom, where do you see the future of the aesthetic procedures going? Do you see a rise in a certain area? Do you see this boom keep continuing on? Or do you see a drop-off coming off? What do you see?
Yeah, that's another great question. I honestly have always felt that as patients become more and more aware of the possibilities of the things that we can do, that there would be a gradual but certain increase in demand for this type of work. And that's been the steady trend over the last 10, 15 years, I believe. And there has been a little bit of an extra boost because of some of the factors we just discussed today. But now whether that kind of settles into kind of the status quo or not, but I think the general industry will continue to grow because of several, sort of issues. One is there's a greater awareness. There's less stigma associated with these procedures. Patients used to feel that, for example, my specialty, that they would have to wait till they're 65 and really aging before they did a procedure. Now patients are doing things at the earliest signs of aging because they feel, why not? Why would I wait till I'm really old looking before I did something? I want to keep my youthful appearance. And so that, and then they're more vocal about it. We have tons of patients who volunteer to speak about their experiences on our Instagram and our YouTube, sort of personal testimonials, and they're not embarrassed about it. Like I think 10 years ago, patients were a lot more secretive about it. So that increased vocalization, that increased awareness and pride that comes along with being able to do something good for themselves and not being embarrassed about it, has really increased the word of mouth component of the number of people that are aware of it and want to do it, but also just keeps that steady drumbeat of new patients coming through.
Well, that's great to hear. Thank you so much for joining me today, and you have a great day. For more Dermatology Times content, from articles and videos to podcasts, you can visit www.dermatologytimes.com.